Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. The Browns 2014 season is in the books as they drop one to the Ravens 20-10 in Baltimore. But I thought it was a gutty effort. I thought it was a gritty effort. I thought this was a team that showed they respect Mike Pettine. They came out and they competed. Connor Shaw, I thought, showed toughness, showed poise. May not have had the ability, per se, to get it done in a hostile environment against a playoff-bound team like the Baltimore Ravens, but I thought Connor Shaw showed a lot of heart, a lot of moxie, and I was proud of the effort. I know Mike Pettine proud of the effort that was put forth. A lot of the players I talked to after the game were proud of the effort that they put forth there. Ultimately, not good enough, but certainly a game where they looked better than they have in a while, and ultimately they did come up short, losing their fifth in a row to close out the season at 7-9, but we're going to get into this game. We're going to start to get into some of the other news that surrounds this Cleveland Browns football team. We'll hear from Mike Pettine live at 2 o'clock. That'll be his end-of-the-year press conference. We'll carry that right here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We will also hear some sound from the owner of the Cleveland Browns, Jimmy Haslam, in the locker room after yesterday's game with a strong message to Josh Gordon, Johnny Manziel, and Justin Gilbert. Shape up or you will not be Cleveland Browns in the future. And gentlemen, here as I am, joined as I am every Monday by Matt Wilhelm and Joe Juravicius here in the Dog Bowl in Berea. It was a bummer to end on a losing note, but I thought a strong effort, and hopefully this team can take the good things that are happening and build on them going forward.
Absolutely, and I think that that defensive performance for me throughout that football game, three and out after three and out, gave the Cleveland Browns an opportunity, and that offensive side of the football to figure things out with Connor Shaw. And I think that, again, what we saw yesterday from the Baltimore Ravens is that the quarterback position, you can only keep down a good quarterback for so long. And we did that to Joe Flacco. We affected him. We affected their throws. I thought the grittiness of the defensive backs in competing for every single football. You saw Hayden, not at his best competing for balls.
He had the flu. He was on an IV the entire night before and in the morning and went out there and battled. His shoulder got banged up again, but he still continued to battle out there.
Exactly. K'Wan Williams, Buster Screen, just being competitive and, again, playing for their head football coach. But, again, what it came down to was Joe Flacco, a top-tier NFL quarterback, paid as one as well, made just a few throws at the right time in a football game in the fourth quarter late with his team trailing to put their team ahead.
There's no question the Browns played yesterday with a lot of heart for the guys that were there. The word that got thrown around a lot yesterday was accountability. You're talking about what Joe Hayden did with the injuries and being sick. I would take that guy any day of the week. That's how good he is.
He just got paid. He didn't have to do that.
No, exactly.
Great
so
example.
I think that we have a lot of things to be really happy about here in the city of Cleveland. Obviously, there's some things that were distractions again, and those are going to be dealt with at the appropriate time. But I was really impressed with the way that the Browns went out there and competed for the last game of the season against a team that was fighting for a playoff spot. And like Matt said, the quarterback position is so important, and the Baltimore Ravens have a good quarterback that can lead you down the field and get you into the playoffs.
He's won a Super Bowl, and that's exactly Joe Flacco showed that in the fourth quarter. The Browns, again, had the lead in the fourth quarter, but not enough offense in this one, and it was the Ravens who took a 10-6 lead, a 10-6 deficit and turned it into a 20-10 victory there in the fourth quarter. Connor Shaw, 10 first downs via the pass in this one. I thought showed a poise. He showed toughness. I said he's going to be prepared. He is not going to look harried back there, and he certainly did not. Not the strongest arm. It was unfortunate they had that botched center exchange early on his first drive.
Yeah, cost us points.
He had hit Cameron for that 30-yarder down the middle of the field, and they were in business at the Baltimore Ravens 27 before that. But I thought it was a gritty effort overall. I thought they had a good opportunity to come away with a win. They battled a team that will be going to the playoffs. Now we know all three teams in the AFC North will go to the playoffs. Pittsburgh winning the division last night. Cincy and Baltimore getting in as the two wild cards from the AFC. So it's tough. It's a good division. The Browns ultimately ended up playing 8 out of their 16 games this year against playoff teams. You had the 3 from the division, so that's 6 games. You had the Indianapolis Colts, of course, and the Carolina Panthers, the division winner there. The Browns going against those 8 in those playoff games, 2-6 on the season. So they beat up the teams they're supposed to, but still shows you have some ways to go against competitive teams.
Oh, most definitely. And I think, again, if you answer the question time and time again, build a team to compete in your division. You know, build a team that can win the AFC North. And what does that mean? You look around, they've got solid defenses, and I think we fit that bill when it comes to the defense. I know the Pittsburgh Steelers are rebuilding that defense, but their offense is pulling the weight. But all of them have their quarterbacks, both of the now and into the future. And some of them have been the quarterbacks, you know, and will be into the future. They've all been paid as starting top-tier NFL quarterbacks. And that's the one thing that the Cleveland Browns have been missing, which in most cases is why we've been the bottom dweller of this division for way too long.
Matt, if you look, and Nate, if you guys look at the teams that are going to be successful and that are going into this playoff system, they all have one thing in common. They've got really good quarterbacks right now. And for us, it's another question mark. Looks like we're going to go into another offseason with more question marks at the quarterback position. So those things have to get ironed out here with the front office and how they're going to handle certain things around here. But you said it. Every quarterback in our division is a guy that's been paid. He's had some success, and they are going to be quarterbacks for the future. So I think if we had one telltale sign that needs to be kind of ironed out and needs to be done quick, in my opinion, it's this whole quarterback situation.
It is. That's the key to the NFL, which brings us to our big topic of the day. What would you all do out there with Justin Gilbert, Johnny Manziel, and Josh Gordon?
How do you want me to answer that?
I want to get your guys' perspective first. I want to say this because, you know, you go through and you look at Johnny Manziel and coming in, he's supposed to be the quarterback, and you hear about how competitive he is, and you hear things from the room that he is, you know, from the building that he was playing, you know, doing things the right way, et cetera. And then you come to hear from him that he's not doing things the right way, that he realizes now he needs to work harder, which I don't understand why you even say that out loud in the NFL. To me, I'm very disappointed. I'm disappointed that Johnny Manziel came in here, had every opportunity to compete and win a job with Brian Hoyer, didn't do that, then gets an opportunity to start, doesn't look very good, he's knocked out. That's fine. You know, those things happen. I thought he had a big transition in the NFL, but it's the off-the-field stuff, the constant, and then to go and throw a big party on a Friday night and then be late for something on Saturday morning, the point where the Browns are reportedly had to send security to find him. Like, why can't you wait until this week to party? The season's over. Why does it have to be on that Friday night? So I'm very disappointed in him. I'm also disappointed in Justin Gilbert. And Justin Gilbert comes out and says, oh, you know, everything that Dansby and Winter said, that was too harsh on me, and I'm going to show them. And then he goes and violates team rules again on Saturday, is inactive, and was not on the sideline. I didn't see either Johnny Manziel or Justin Gilbert on the sideline in Baltimore, even though they were both there. And for these two young guys, when a team invests a first-round pick in you, they're investing a lot of money and a lot of their future, and a lot of people's jobs and lives are on the line.
Yes.
That are responsible for those picks, and people are coming under fire as a result of their behavior off the field. And I would say to them, listen, you're a professional now. And it's not on people say, oh, well, the coaches can't control them. You guys can speak to this in a second, but I just want to get all this out.
Get it off your chest.
Get it off my chest. The coaches, these are grown men. Mike Pettine can't be asked to drive to Johnny Manziel's house and drive him to the facility or drive Justin Gilbert to the facility. These are grown-ups who are being paid a lot of money to be professionals. And this league, there are a lot of talented guys who didn't know what it meant to be professionals, and they are not in this league anymore. And they're going to have to – it's ultimately on them now. I think it's completely on them. They need to look in the mirrors and decide, do I want to be a professional? Do I want to be in this league? And do I want to be a part of this team? And if not, then they need to go. And I'm sorry, Josh Gordon, it makes no sense to cut him, but I think you need to explore every opportunity to move on from Josh Gordon. And if you can bring in any kind of an asset for him, that's what you have to do.
I think what you said about being a grown-up, you know, these guys are supposed to be grown-ups. I don't think they're grown-ups, because I think grown-ups actually get up, show up for work. When you have a commitment to an organization, a team, a city, you show up for work. And I could tell you firsthand that being outside of professional football, not being an athlete anymore and getting those checks once or every 2 weeks, it's really hard in the real world to make this kind of money. So you should almost feel so fortunate. You are fortunate to be able to do that. And you would think that at the least you could do for the easiest practice of the week, the AKA walkthrough, that you could show up on time. You don't have to get taped. You don't have to stretch. You can almost wear flip-flops out there if you wanted to, because you need to know your assignment. But before you need to know your assignment, you obviously have to know what time you need to get up and where you have to be. And we've got some issues with that. So unfortunately, you're right. There are some people in this front office that are under fire right now because they have to answer to why these guys were drafted or why they're giving these guys a second, third, fourth, and fifth chance. So I come from the kind of from the school of thought that I don't know if I could. You can't depend on these guys, and you've got to figure this out quick.
Johnny Manziel today is addressing the media literally as we're on air right now. That's what's going on in the locker room. So this is what he says. Manziel saying it was 100% false that I threw a party on Friday night, said he was with Gordon at one point on Friday, but not at night. He acknowledges he made mistakes. He overslept on Saturday. He wants to stop being, quote, a jackass. He said he is, quote, irate with reports that he threw a party, said he only had a few friends in from Texas. Gordon was not with him again at night. So he's apologized to his teammates, admitted missing treatment, says that he did not throw a party.
But that, you know what, all that being said, and what's the one thing that's very shocking to me and very telling, especially at this juncture in the football season now that is complete, is all of these are all these actions by Justin Gilbert and now Josh Gordon and Johnny Manziel being late is, if they think it's okay and it's a part of the 4 month grind that is a 17-week football season, you know, what happens when we give them the freedom? You know, the freedom to make their own decisions. Now that they've been paid a year's salary, and for Justin Gilbert and Johnny Manziel, they've received the bonus, you know, of being a high draft pick, a number one draft pick. How are they going to function, you know, out in public with their phone and Instagram and Twitter and Facebook and whatever social media site they have at their fingertips when they've arrived in their mind? And they can do it in a business setting, and now they're going to be outside that business setting, but yet they are still a representation of the Cleveland Browns organization, the teammates in this locker room, Ray Farmer and the staff who drafted these young men, Coach Pettine, who made the decision to start some of these young men in certain football games. So they're a reflection of so many more people beyond just themselves, and now you give them freedom and money. And it's gonna, and I mean, and if their actions are already speaking louder than their words, because we heard Johnny was going to right the ship and he was going to work harder. Well, he didn't. And Justin Gilbert this, and they haven't. So now we're giving them time and money, and I think it's going to be an absolute disaster.
Matt, you remember how they used to say in coaching, you know, we've got to have short-term memories if you play football. I just never expected with Johnny it would be 4 days that you forgot what you said about being a professional and having to be accountable to the team. So it's unfortunate. And again, in order to stick around the NFL, you have got to do things the right way. And listen, I've said this before. I like winning championships over any individual accolade that I ever got. And I would, and part of that whole thing is showing up and doing your job so that your teammates who have to hold you accountable, these guys depend on you, front office people, equipment guys, everyone down to the secretaries, they all depend on you to do your job. And when you get paid that kind of money, you have no excuses to me.
Listen, when you're a professional athlete in football, okay, and to be a quarterback, to be the leader of this team, you need to hold yourself to even a higher standard than everybody else. You need to outwork everybody in the building. You need to know everybody's job on offense. You need to know everything. You don't hear about Peyton Manning. You don't hear about Russell Wilson, Andrew Luck. You don't hear any of this stuff with them because they're working. Teddy Bridgewater, who I loved going in this draft, has been nothing but a godsend in Minnesota because all he does is live at the facility and work on football. And I don't understand. Listen, you have a lot of time to go out and play. Let's say that you're the best quarterback who's ever lived. You're going to go and play until you're, what, 37, 38, 40?
Maybe,
the best, if you're the best quarterback who's ever played. And that means you've dedicated yourself until the time that you're 40. So you could have an 18-year career right in the NFL. You'll be 40 years old. You'll be rich for generations in your family beyond your wildest dreams. You'll be able to make money every year for the rest of your life just off of who you are and what you accomplished as a football player. And you'll have your whole life from 40 on, which, by the way, is young. I'm 36, and I feel like 40 is definitely young, to party your face off and do whatever you want.
And drive whatever car and live in the biggest house.
Go wherever you want. Sleep with whoever you want. Do whatever you want for the rest of your life. But if you're going to be here and be a quarterback and try to be a leader, do it and do it all the way. You can't do it half-assed in the NFL at quarterback.
But what if you've had money before you even became a professional quarterback? I mean, I think that's a big
question. Is it about money, though? Is that what drove you guys?
No, it never is. It was fulfilling a dream for me, and I realized that if I wanted to make more money and do, I had to do things the right way. Listen, I wasn't good enough personally to be the person that could be late to meetings or go out and party every night. And listen, I'd be a hypocrite if I said I didn't go out on Friday night, but I can sure as hell tell you that I was inside the meeting room an hour before meetings getting ready for the game. So it's all about being a professional. No, money does not drive you. It comes if you do it over time. But to do things right and to be able to even get into that conversation about monetary values, you have got to do it right. And unfortunately, I think there's kind of an entitlement issue that once you come out of the NCAA football, that you've been the All-American, that everybody's loved you, that it's really hard for guys to let that go, because what we just saw right now is average. It's actually below average of what we've seen from some of these guys that we're talking about.
I agree. And you look at the guys who have really stepped up and made an impact for this team as rookies. You have Joel Bitonio out of Nevada. It wasn't ballyhooed. Guys in the football circles knew that he would be a great pro. He's been a great pro. Chris Kirksey won all the awards at Iowa for being a great kid.
Yep.
He came in and played well. Pierre Desir, his story, phenomenal. You saw the improvement he made. He did it the right way. And Connor Shaw, who was as successful as anybody in the history of the University of South Carolina, the winningest quarterback there, he came out and all he did was work and work and work, and he looked more comfortable as the quarterback. The huddle looked more comfortable.
Yep.
The offense looked more comfortable and more in control as a guy who took no reps whatsoever, actually, as a member of the Browns. He was always on the scout team being somebody else, and yet this offense looked better, more cohesive, more under control, because why? He's a complete professional.
And he understands. Matt, does he not understand? He understood what was ahead of him. He had an opportunity to put something down on film, to be accountable to the Cleveland Browns, and as far as I'm concerned, that guy deserves another shot here in Cleveland
because of
what he did. He took the bull by the horns. He was tough. And for whatever he lacked in physical ability, he still did one hell of a job of leading this Browns
team. And he still put the Browns in the lead in the fourth quarter on the road against the Ravens team that needed to win to get into the playoffs.
Absolutely. I mean, and again, you've got to love that about him. And again, he is the story right now in Cleveland. You know, this is what we should be talking about, not the detriment of what's going to hurt Cleveland or prospectively hurt this organization moving forward. So, again, I'm high on Connor Shaw. I thought, again, the TV reporters were high on Connor Shaw. And one thing I did like is I love the fact that Brian Hoyer, being as humbled as he was on the sideline, huddling with Connor Shaw,
right. Being
that leader, that mentor.
He was fired up for Connor Shaw.
Yes, he was.
When they scored that touchdown, not only Tyler Thigpen was way out on the field because he knew Connor Shaw back then, Hoyer was about 20 yards on the field, and so was Kyle Shanahan on the field to congratulate him after that touchdown when Terrence West scored. And I know because I was there, that was not the way it happened when Johnny ran in his first touchdown against Buffalo.
Hey.
I can just tell you that was not the reaction. Now, there were guys who were fired up to see Johnny. The defense was excited at what he did. But in terms of that going out there, there was nothing like that. And here's one more thing, Johnny. We're going to take a break because we got Mike Pettine coming up at 2, and we got to stay on time. Here's Johnny Manziel again. Couple quotes from him. It's about action. It's about being accountable and doing what I'm going to say instead of looking like a jackass. I apologize to the team and the veterans. Either I'm going to learn or I'm going to be finding something else to do. He is honest and he is introspective. He says the right things. But, Johnny, I don't want to hear you talk anymore. I want to see you do it, live it, breathe it, sleep it, and then go ahead and let that translate into success or failure. Because ultimately, just because you do things
it's
the right way,
it's not a foregone conclusion.
Doesn't mean you're going to be a success
in the
NFL. But do things the right way so that we don't have to talk about anything else. If it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. That's the way that it is. But come out and be a professional. And Justin Gilbert, don't even get me started, because you were a top 10 pick in the NFL and have repeatedly done ridiculous things to the point where I know I talk to many teammates, guys in the secondary, guys in this locker room who I know are respected and who are leaders of this team, who are flat out pissed, and they're close to saying, you know what, I don't even care anymore. You'll be out of the league. If you want to help us, great. And if not, like, we don't care. It's not my job to babysit you. And Joe Hayden, you know, he had a run in 4-game suspension. He said that changed my perspective, and I knew different level of accountability. I had to be the guy. And this is a guy who got paid and went out there with the flu. He was sick as a dog, went out there, competed, and got it out. You know, got it out there and tried to lead by example. Wake up and follow the example of the great leaders and successful football players and professionals that you have in this locker room. Otherwise, as Jimmy Haslam said, you're not going to be Browns very long. All right, we'll be back with your thoughts as well. 216-578-0850 on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.